Nat King Cole made a song very, very famous as one of his great songs. It was called Unforgettable, if you remember it. Unforgettable, that's what you are. Unforgettable, though near or far. And then he went on, one of the other phrases was, unforgettable in every way and forevermore. That's how you'll stay. At the last song, he goes in, darling, it's incredible that someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too. Everybody wants to be unforgettable. Think about it. One of the biggest insults in the world would be to say he's a totally forgettable person. You know, he or she is totally forgettable. And people will say something about an event. Well, that's totally forgettable. You know, it didn't have any impact. It has no staying power. It doesn't lodge in your memory. It's not something that you will remember. So, to live this life and to be forgettable, you want to live this life so that you create in others who love you and others around you a memory, don't you? You don't want to have walked this life and nobody remembers that you were here. Not any of the people that loved you, not any of the people that survived you. So, one of the biggest insults, I say, is to be forgettable. God himself does not want to be forgettable. God wants to be, just as that song says, unforgettable. But how do we remember? How do we get something in our head that's unforgettable about something, about someone? Well, first of all, we see them. Okay, so I see you. That brings my memory. I hear you. That brings my memory. Touch. I touch you. You're there. I can see you. I can feel you. I can touch you. But what about God? You don't feel God. You don't see God. You don't hear God. At least, unless you're one of the great prophets or something, you don't hear God. You might hear God's word because you read the Bible and you say, okay, I see the Bible, I read the word. You go to church, you hear God's word. But for the most part, God is spirit. Jesus said, God's spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So we don't see God. We don't have a lot of remembrances. Therefore, it is easy to forget God. God, of all the people you know, all the people surround you, God is easy to forget. Why? Well, because he's spirit. Because you don't see him. Because he doesn't impose himself. Now, you know, some people, you'll remember them because they call you. You remember they send you letters. They send you a card. They come over. They visit. They talk to you. They say, you know, you might do something with them. You might, play a game with them. You might golf with them. And you might do this with them. You might do other things that you remember them. But you don't do that with God. When we talk about walking with God, what do we mean walking with God? We mean we follow his ways. But what if you don't follow his ways? God wants to be remembered. And forgetting God is one of the great tragedies. He does not want that. And you heard in the sermonette how they forsook God. They turned around. They forsook God. I mean, they left the other way. Saul forsook God. He forsook God's commandments. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, we read this. Beware. This is verse 11. He's talking about after you get all these things. Beware, that is, watch out that you do not forget the eternal your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Part of those annual statutes and ordinances and commandments were, for instance, the Sabbath day, the annual festival days. What are they supposed to do? They're supposed to remind us of God. They're supposed to remind us so you don't forget God. That's why the Bible says, you know, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Don't stop doing that. Why? Because it reminds us. So he says here, the ordinances commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten, he's now warning them, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them. Oh, yeah, I got houses. I got fruit trees I've got to attend. I've got fruit. I've got these things I've got to do. You ever have things you got to do? And your mind gets on all these things. You got troubles. You got to have, take care of that. You got to have this. And where's your thought? Are you thinking about God? Now, I know some people say, I think about God every minute of every day. Well, you know, God bless you if you can do that. Well, you're better than I am. Because I don't think about God every minute of every day. And if I'm not careful, I can go, you know, this problem and that problem, and this issue and that issue. I can forget it. It just drops out of my head. It's not like you could touch him. So you see, he says, I want to warn you. Otherwise, when you've eaten and are satisfied, you built good houses and you lived in them. And when your herds and your flocks multiply. Now think about it. When you have a herd that multiplies, what do you got to do? You got to take care of it. Flocks that multiply, you got to take care of them. You got to build new fence for them. You got to watch out. Now we got a little bit of bigger pasture. We got to make sure they're fed. We got to take care of them. Oh, this one's now calving, and that one's now having a little baby sheep, and all that. A little lamb is coming out. Oh, I've got to be on top of all this. That otherwise, when you've built houses and when your herds and your flocks multiply. When your silver and gold multiplies, I got to store it. I got to make sure. I got to take it. I got to put it away. I got to take care of it. And all that you have multiplies. Think about it. Everything you get requires time to take care of, right? Everything. Get a new car. Get a new house. Get a new phone. Get a new this. Get a new that. Whatever it is. And then now you're taking care of it. You got to put it away. You got to find a place for it. You got to take it, polish it, take care of it, put it away. Get a new set of dishes. Everything you have now requires you to put your mind on that. And so he says, you got to be careful. I just want you to beware when all these things happen that you do not forget and that your heart will become proud. Look what I've done. Now, you remember the classic one. Who was the classic person that became proud? King Nebuchadnezzar. Time and again, Daniel said, you know, God has placed you in this position. God puts rulers over the thing. And sometimes out of the basis of men, he puts them up rulers. And he says, you know, King, God has given you this place. Well, then after God, he heard this time and again, what does he do? He walks out and he looks over the gardens of Babylon. He looks over the splendid city of Babylon. And he says, what? By my might and power, I have done all this. I got this. And what did God do? Struck him. You're going to be like an animal. You're going to be just like an animal. You didn't pay attention. You have not obeyed God. You haven't thought about who it is that puts you there. So he says, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the eternal your God, the ever-living one your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You'll forget. It's easy. God is easy to forget. Jeremiah chapter 23, beginning in verse 26. How long is there anything in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy falsehood? Now, here's another thing that gets you to get your mind off God, okay? What can get you to get your mind off God faster than a prophet of Baal or a false prophet. Here it is. Who prophesy falsehood. Even these prophets of the deception of, you know, of the deception of their heart. These prophets prophesy falsehood, the deception of their own heart. Their hearts deceived them. Now they're preaching their heart's deception to the people. And verse 27, who intend to make my people, I'm reading from the New American Standard Version, forget my name by their dreams, which they relate to one another, just as their fathers forgot my name because of Baal. These false prophets. Now, think about the things that get your mind off God. Somebody comes up with this little idea, this new doctrine, this idea, this that we should count this way, we should calculate that way, we should be put a lot of time into researching this, we should do that, we get into this. And I've seen people, believe me, I have seen this in people's homes. On baptizing tours and other places, the guy wants to show me he's got charts. This guy had charts. He had charts for this and charts for that, and calculating all these things and when the end is coming, and he's got charts. You can get your mind off a lot of that. You can get your mind on it. Yeah, they intend to make my people forget my name, just as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. Rolled off my touch and said the wrong name. Okay, listen to that. Okay, I'm sorry. Pardon me. I got a note here. I was at the feast this year, and during the feast, I was making announcements, and I was telling about the flowers, and I said. And her daughter-in-law, and it just rolled off my tongue, the wrong name. Because this gentleman had been married to another woman first, and his wife still attends church. And his second wife, who is now his present wife, sitting with him, and I called her by the name of the first wife. And finally, I think Jarvis Windham came up to me and says, did you know what you did? It was a day or so later. I know nobody even mentioned it. I didn't even know it. I don't think Molly got it. She didn't know it. I didn't know it. And Jarvis said, are you aware of your faux pas? I said, what? He said, you made a faux pas. I said, what did I do? He said, well, you said this woman was the daughter-in-law of this other lady. And I said, well, she is the daughter-in-law. And he said, not that name. I said, oh, I got the wrong name. So I went and apologized to her. It just rolled right off. But this is what she said. It was very interesting. She said, oh, don't worry about it. I didn't think anything of it. I'm not upset at all. I said, I really want to apologize to you because, you know, I used the wrong name. Used the name of your husband's former wife. And she said, no, for you to say it, it's no big deal. She said, now, had my husband called me that, there would have been fire and brimstone and all that. You know, had he called me that, it would have been different. Now, think about this. The people who make, they intend to make my people forget my name, by their dreams, just as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. Can you imagine the Almighty God who brought them out of the land of Egypt, and now they're praying, and what do they use? They use the word Baal. Baal. My people, Hosea says in verse 6, Hosea 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being my priest. And since you have forgotten the law of your God. Now think of if you forget God's law. What is God's law an expression of? It's an expression of his justice. It's an expression of his character. It's an expression of what he is, what he intends to be. And you forget the law of God, he says, I'll also forget your children. Now think about it. Suppose you were dating somebody, whether you're a woman or you're a man, and you're dating somebody. And the other person says, well, I'm going to forget you. What would you say? I'll forget you too, right? I mean, if somebody says, I'm forgetting you, I'm done with you, I'm forgetting you. Your thing will be, well, I guess I'll forget you. And that's sort of what God is saying. You forgot the law of your God, I guess I'll forget your kids, your children. In Deuteronomy 32 and verse 18, listen to this statement. This is just sad. God says, you neglected the rock who begot you. In the book of Deuteronomy 32, the rock stands for God. God is the rock. He is the rock. You neglected the rock who begot you and forgot the God, which is the same person, who gave you birth. In other words, how did the nation of Israel ever come about? God gave them birth. He brought them to life. He brought them alive. And what do? You forgot. You neglected the rock and you forgot the God who gave you birth. It's just easy. Now, while we can forget God, God is not the same way. He does not forget us, generally. He does not. Listen to this in Isaiah. Listen to Isaiah chapter 44, verse 21. Remember these things, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I have formed you. You are my servant, O Israel. You will not be forgotten by me. I have wiped out your transgressions like a thick cloud. You will not be forgotten by me. We often forget God. God doesn't forget us. We often neglect God. God doesn't neglect us. Isaiah 49, verse 14. But Zion said, in other words, this is what the people are saying. Zion said, this is the people of Zion saying this, the Lord has forsaken me, and the Lord, the Eternal, has forgotten me. That's what they're saying. Did you ever say that? You know, things go bad for you. What do you think when things go bad for you? Oh, God doesn't care. God doesn't think about me. I'm the last thing on God's list. He didn't care what's happened to me. Doesn't he see what's happened to me? All these troubles, all my problems, all my health issues, all my this, all my loved ones. It's easy to think God forgot you. So what does Zion say? The people are saying here, the Lord has forsaken me. The Eternal has forgotten me. But here's what God says in verse 15, Isaiah 49, verse 15. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? You know, it's such a bonding thing that happens between a mother and a child. Once you give birth, the woman's body and her mind is flooded with oxytocin, which is the binding chemical. It's a chemical in the brain that creates a binding, closeness and a binding. And a woman who gives birth to a child can never, almost never, get over and forsake that child. It's very hard. Now, I guess some women can. I mean, there are cruel women, too. But most women can never. They can never get over the bonding that takes place between that mother and child. And so he says, you know, can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? But listen to this last phrase. Even these may forget. It's possible for a woman to forget. It's possible. Not likely, because there's such a bonding. Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. This is what God says. You may forget him, but he will not forget you. He will not forget Israel. He will not forget his people. He will not forget And they may go through suffering, they may go through troubles, they may go through trials, but God will not forget them. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 39, we read this. Ezekiel 39, beginning in verse 26. They will forget their disgrace. This is when God wipes it out. They will forget their disgrace and all their treachery which they perpetrated against me. They'll forget that when they live securely on their own land with no one to make them afraid. They'll forget all that. You know, time happens and heals, and the change of circumstances and the heal, and the people who have disgraced God, have been disgraced by God, and have perpetrated all this treachery against God, they'll forget that. And verse 27, when I bring them back from the peoples and gather them from the lands of their enemies, then I shall be sanctified through them in the sight of the many nations. Then they will know that I am the Eternal, their God, because I made them to go into exile among the nations, and then I gathered them again to their own land, and I will leave none of them there any longer. Verse 29, I will not hide my face from them any longer. When God hides his face, okay, if God says, I'm hiding my face from you, it means I'm turning around, turning away. I'm not listening to you. I'm not looking at you. Think about it. When two people are talking, and this is important to learn if you want good relationships with people, when somebody's talking to you, you want to look at them, right? If they're talking to you and they're especially discussing something and you're looking up here and you're looking over there and they're talking, their face is here and you're looking around and you're shifting around with another book and you're just looking, you're not really paying attention and they don't get that feeling. So when God turns his face, I will hide my face from them. God's not, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to listen to you and I'm not looking at you. You've insulted me. You've hurt me. And I'm not going to listen. I will not hide my face from them any longer. In other words, now I'm going to look at you. I'm going to listen to you. For I will have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, declares the Eternal God. I won't hide my face from you. In Deuteronomy 28, the Eternal will send you curses. And verse 20, Deuteronomy 28, verse 20, the Eternal will send you curses and confusion and rebuke in all you undertake to do until you are destroyed, until you perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds because you have forsaken me. Now, what do you mean when you say forsaken? I just leave you. I'm walking off. Now here's God. He marries Israel. I want you. I want you to be my bride. I want you to be my nation. And they say, see ya, pal. You know, we got your jewelry. We got all the things you gave us. Remember, God in the book of Ezekiel says, I gave him all this jewelry. I decorated her. I put the finest dresses on her. I did all this. I gave her all this. And she says, see ya, pal. And off she goes. She's walking off. That's called forsaking. You forsake them. Goodbye. I don't have anything to do with you. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to see you. I don't want to go with you. I'm out of here. Because you have forsaken me, God says now in Deuteronomy, I'm going to punish you. Later on in Isaiah, he says, I won't forget you. I will get you back. I won't turn my face away from you. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 16, the Eternal said to Moses, behold, you are about to lie down with your fathers and this people. Now here's a prophecy of what he's predicting to Moses. You're going to lie down with your fathers and this is what's going to happen. This people will arise and play the harlot with strange gods of the land into the midst of which they are going. And they will forsake me. This is what God told Moses. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen here, Moses. They're going to go into this land and they're going to forsake me. Now, Joshua had, he had strict instructions. Strict. I want you to wipe out that nation. That, wipe out that people. Do not let them stay in this land. Wipe them out. Everybody, man, woman, and child. What did Joshua do? Oh, gotta be, can't hurt people. Don't want to hurt too many people. So, well, they're not, they won't be a trouble. Let's let them stay. And they became a trouble for Israel ever since. Ever since. They let them stay. I don't know which ones. They were Hivites, Jebusites, you know, Perizzites, all these ones that were in the name there. And they stayed there. And Joshua never did wipe them out. You see that in the book of Joshua, time and again. He did not do it. Sometimes we're nicer than God, you know. We're nicer than God. We think we're nicer. We think we know. Because we're very kind, we're nice, we want to be nice. And therefore, you know, we don't see now in the future. We don't see ahead. So he says here, Deuteronomy 31, verse 16, the Eternal said, behold, you are about to lie down with your fathers, and this people will arise, play the harlot with strange gods, which they did, in the midst of which they're in this land, in the midst of which they're going, and they will forsake me, break my covenant, which I have made with them. And they did. Jeremiah chapter 9. Dropping down to verse 13, the Eternal said, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, nor walked according to it, but they have walked after the stubbornness of their heart and after the Baals, as their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, this people, with the wormwood and give them poisoned water to drink. I will scatter them among the nations whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I will send the sword after them and I until I have annihilated them. Now, he really didn't annihilate them, you know, but he means annihilate them off the land. They were wiped off. And what does Jeremiah say? In chapter 2, verse 32, listen to this very sad statement. Can a virgin, a young woman, forget her ornaments, her makeup, her jewelry? You think a young woman forgets her jewelry? She's getting ready to go out. I didn't forget her jewelry. Or can a bride forget to put on her wedding dress, her attire? Oh, no, she's not going to forget her wedding dress. Verse 32, yet my people have forgotten me days without number. My people have forgotten me days without number. How many days have you forgotten God? How many days has God never even appeared in your mind or your heart? How many hours of, you know, do you think of God? Do you think of God? That's why God gave us these annual festivals, these memorials. What is the Passover? A memorial of this time, a memorial for this. Jesus said, what did Jesus say when he gave this bread and wine? What did he say? This do in remembrance, not in forgetting me, in remembrance of me. Because it's easy. It's easy to forget Jesus. He's not around. We don't see him. He's in heaven. We don't see him. He may dwell with you, but you've got to be spiritually attuned to have Jesus Christ dwelling in you. You've got to be spiritually attuned to him. And it's easy to forget. God wants us to remember. So he set up all kinds of little mnemonics, you know, to help you remember. One of which was what? On the doorposts of every house, they had to have the commandments there. They had to have these ribbons, these phylacteries, called them the ribbons, that went around the hem of your garment. So you see that, you say, okay, that reminds you to keep the law of God. Isn't that what he did? These remembrances? But in spite of that, guess what happens? Okay, you pass through the doorway of your house. I mean, how many of you remember everything on your house? You walk by it and you don't see it. I remember an occasion, this was so embarrassing for us, but we were having Spokesman's Club years ago in Oklahoma City Church, and we were meeting in a union hall. We got that for practically nothing. One of the church members was a member of the union. We got it in there, and we had it. And at that time, the district superintendent was down in Big Sandy, and I've forgotten whether it was Ken Swisher or who. Anyhow, they came up to evaluate us. And so they visited our church, and they came to Spokesman's Club because we had it. And I said, well, you want to come to Spokesman's Club meeting? And they said, yeah, okay. And he was standing and he said, well, why is that thing there in the middle of the floor? You know, it just looked so junky. All of a sudden, we not one of us who were meeting there week after week ever noticed it. We didn't clean it up. We didn't put it away. I've forgotten what it was now. And he came in, and right away he said, you know, why don't you put that thing away? And, you know, it's so junky. It looks junky. I didn't see it. All of a sudden, all of us, oh my, it's there. And it calls on something that you don't see. So after a while, you get used to things. You don't see them. So in spite of the fact that they had the Ten Commandments on the doorposts, despite the fact that they had the phylacteries tied to the ribbons of their coat, they still forgot God. They still forgot. God wants us to remember. And we'll talk more about that in the next time.